come. We must tell everyone.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
The birth of Jesus is marvelous. Truly miraculous.
I've heard all that before. What's the rest of the story?
Normally, people end the story with Joseph and Mary fleeing to Egypt after the wise men visit with gifts and warn them of Herod's wicked plan to destroy the baby Jesus. And he eventually killed all children under age of 2. Herod was a wicked man. But the birth of Jesus was just the beginning of the story. It is the first part of the meaning God with us. You see, there was a purpose God sent Messiah. He was their deliverer. But in a much deeper, more meaningful way than they could have ever hoped for. They expected a military leader to rid them of the shackles of Roman oppression. But the deliverance God offered them was a spiritual deliverance. Their sins, which bound them and set them against God, could be forgiven through Jesus. The kingdom Jesus brought was a spiritual kingdom, into which only those humble enough to repent of their sins and ask for God's forgiveness could enter. Jesus came, offering life in His name. Everywhere He went, He demonstrated this by healing people of whatever diseases they had, meeting people's needs, and restoring lives. This is the ministry of Jesus, a ministry of reconciliation. Now fast forward from the manger several years. Jesus is now 30 years old and has begun His earthly ministry. He's a household name. Many wonder if He is the Christ, the Messiah, and some believe Him.
The whole city has gone after Him. They think He's some great prophet. But would a prophet work on the Sabbath day or go around healing people?
If they search the scriptures, they will see no prophet arise of Nazareth.
Something must be done, or He will take away our place with the Romans.
Things are quite tense with Herod and Pilate.
This Roman oppression is too hard. But this religious fanaticism stirs things up too much.
Oh, look. Here comes one of the fanatic followers now.
Out preaching again, Hananiah? When will you learn? These prophets come and go, and yet we wait for the Messiah. When He comes, we will know.
I'm telling you, He's not like all the others. He's different. I heard Him teach. We were down by Galilee. The whole city went out to hear Him teach, and from a boat on the water's edge, He explained the law and the prophets. He speaks not as the scribes and rabbis do. He speaks with authority. He is sent from God. Many are saying that He is the Christ.
Hananiah, come on. You can't believe everything you hear. Be sensible. Just look at what happened to Thutis and his 400 followers.
Or what about Judas and his disciples? They were destroyed. This will pass. Don't let yourself get so worked up.
Zimri, I'm not just getting worked up. It's true. He is real. His teaching. He doesn't just speak to make himself heard. He speaks truth. He is truth. He is like no other man on earth. I truly wonder. I believe he is our Messiah. How can he be otherwise?
Ha! When Messiah comes, he'll come with power. This Jesus, he is no king. He has no army. He isn't even a soldier. He has no title. He has but a few followers.
You speak of power. What greater power do you know but the power to heal? The power to give life? The power over earth itself? Do you not remember when he calmed the raging storm on the Galilean Sea? Were you not there when he fed 5,000 of us with but a lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Did you not hear how he changed the water into wine at the wedding in Cana? We've all seen him work miracles. Lazarus, he raised you from the dead. I was there. I watched them bury you. Then Jesus came, and you lived. Bartimaeus, Jesus touched your blinded eyes, and now you see. All of you, have you not all seen him work miracles?
My son was dead, and on our way to bury him, Jesus stopped by and touched him, and my son lived.
Jesus met me at the well in Sidon, where I go to draw water. He gave me living water. My life was changed.
I spent all my savings on doctors, but none could cure me. Then I met Jesus. I touched just the hem of his garment, and I was healed that very moment.
Yes, yes. Did we not also see him raise Jairus' daughter from the dead? We've all seen what he has done, that he's done all things well.
Well, he still hasn't done anything about this. What about the tax and the Romans and our oppression? When Christ comes, he will deliver us. Do not the prophets say, the government will be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Counselor? I don't see any government changing anytime soon. They tried to crown him king, and he refused to let them crown him. What kind of prince is that?
Oh, Zimri. He is the Prince of Peace. He has so many times proclaimed that his kingdom is not of this world. His government is a spiritual government, a kingdom of hearts where Christ can reign within every man. Don't you see? He is exactly who he says he is. He has fulfilled all the law and the prophets, and he has come bringing life. The lame walk, the blind see, broken hearts are mended, the sinners are cleansed, and the dead are raised to life. What more do you need to believe? What more could one possibly do to prove that he is the Son of God, the Christ, our Messiah?
Fine, fine. You don't have to preach to me. You go follow your Messiah, or whatever you call him, and we'll keep waiting for the real deliverer to come. Something must be done!
What more can we do? We have tried trapping him in his words, but no one can catch him. Everyone we send leads more and off of him than before. It's like we can do nothing against him.
We must be careful, because the people believe him to be a great prophet, and some even rumor that he is the Messiah. So, whatever is done must be done quickly and secretly.
What if one of his disciples were to make an agreement and bring him to us?
Yes, I think I know just the one. He keeps the money bag and has grown discontent of late.
Yes, if we brought him to Caiaphas, we could try him secretly by night.
But we cannot put any man to death. Only Pilate can do that.
Then, will we try him before Caiaphas and have Caiaphas send him to Pilate? And if a mob were to find a way to Pilate's judgment seat, Pilate could be persuaded to do away with him.
Passover is almost upon us. This is our chance. While all Jerusalem is distracted, we can judge him and send him to Pilate.
Did they really capture and murder Jesus?
Yes, they did. They lied and accused him in order to make him guilty of death, and then brought him to Pilate, the Roman prefect, to carry out the death sentence.
So Jesus was taken and killed?
Yes. Jesus allowed them.
Hold on. But don't you believe that Jesus is all-powerful? That he is God?
Yes, he is God.
If Jesus is God, why couldn't he escape the Pharisees' plot to kill him? I mean, if he could really call all the angels down to earth to deliver him, why did he die? Why not show everyone his might and power?
Now, that's a good question. You see, he chose to die. Jesus wasn't killed because the Pharisees finally outsmarted him. Jesus chose to die because that was the only way to reconcile us back to God. That's how much he loved us.
I just don't get it. Why? I mean, why did he have to die?
He chose to die because he loved us. All of us deserve to die because we've sinned. But he took our place so we wouldn't have to pay the price for our sin. Our sin declares us guilty before God. We have all broken God's perfect law. Even when we try to live a good life and hold a standard of morality, we still fall short of God's perfect standard. That's where we're all at. We have all fallen short of God's perfection. We have chosen to go our own way, and we face the penalty of our choice. Ultimately, it is eternal separation from God in hell.
But if Jesus was perfect, and he didn't sin, why did he have to die the sinner's death?
You're right, but Jesus didn't die to pay for his sin. He died to pay for our sins. In fact, he is the only one that can pay the sin price. He is the only perfect sinless one. His sacrifice is the only payment for sin accepted of God. He loved us so much that he died the death we all deserve in order to satisfy the justice of God. He died our death so we could have eternal life. He traded places with us. The cross was God's idea to reconcile a relationship broken by sin.
I've never heard that before. So that's why when Judas and the Pharisees came to him in the garden, he let them take him and lead him to Pilate? He went willingly?
Exactly. The cross was God's plan all along. It was why he came. And it was love for us, you and me. Love brought him to Bethlehem, and love sent him to the cross, that through his death we might be saved.